Blog Talk Radio.
Just like the evening sun.
we are preachers here. What we said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yahweh. We try to keep a pulse on our brothers and sisters, our fellow man, and also strangers too. It's urgently needed. Consider that we are being tested, and believe you, some of the tests are hard, and some of the tests are heartbreaking, personally speaking. And so, just because you're with Yah does not necessarily mean that you won't be tested. And some of the tests are difficult, believe you me. But nevertheless, that's why we have brothers and sisters in faith. That's why we have family members and friends in the faith, so they can assure us and keep us focused and on track and pointed in the right direction. And thank you, Most High, for those sort of people that I associate myself with, especially in regards to Brother Cartrell, one of the other student teachers on this show also. I'm thankful for the Most High for having friends and brothers like him. I'm thankful for the Most High to have blood brothers and friends whom are not necessarily conscious of their roles and conscious of their relationship with Yah. So for that, praise Yah and bless his holy name. Praise Yah, bless his holy name. Praise Yah, bless his holy name. Did you know that King David was under trial and seemed like every day of his life until he got old, he couldn't do much. You know, what did King David say? He didn't go out and attack the liars. He just said, as far as liars, I can't stand them. I don't want them around me, and I hope that the Most High crush them. I feel the very same way, because these are despicable people, and they will tell despicable, disgusting lies on you to get you off track. But they don't understand that, because they don't have a relationship, a dominant relationship with Yah. And certainly they don't have any love for their people. So it goes without saying, if you come under trial, don't take the law into your own hands. Go to the Most High in prayer and praise and worship his holy name. Cartrell, I just mentioned it, is a brother that loves the Most High with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and his brothers and sisters as himself. It's been very indicative to me of that fact. Today, I'm not going to go into detail because it ain't your business, but I know he does. And that's the primary thing, learning to love, hate lies, and love your brothers and sisters. We need each other. It's just that simple, because this is true. When you're working for Yah, as the prophets were of olden days, they came under fire. In the case of Moses, he came under fire. In the case of Yahshua, he came under fire. In your case, you'll come under fire too. It's how you respond to the lies. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Let's get to know Yah. Let's get to know Yah by study of the word of Yah. That's the only way you get to know Yah. You get some inkling. You know, you won't know everything about it, but you'll get some inkling about it. And your brothers and sisters, what we have been reduced to by our lack of worship and study of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yahweh. Praise and bless his holy name. So without further ado, let me bring my brother and friend on, Brother Cartrell. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Bless Yah, oh my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Yisrael, to God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's given me my life and understanding of him. All praise. Yah Shufari. Most High bless you. Shalom. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, brother. After my conversation with you early, after the devastation and lies, after the conversation with you, a friend in Memphis, and one of my blood brothers, I've got back on track and on focus what I need to be doing, which is much more. I'll let Yah handle the small prize, okay?
And that's the real key to our success. Most of our fights are battles for us, right?
Exactly.
And we have to be in tune with him. Exactly. Have to be in tune with the Most High in order for the Most High to fight our battles for us. Whether they be big or small.
Hallelujah.
Because Yah is in control. Yah's control.
That's true. That's true.
The Most High created the sun. What man could create the sun out? Can a man create the sun?
No.
Something
similar? Can, brother.
So that's
no,
the
brother.
Power we're relying on. The power that created the sun that blows the mind of science. The sun been burning for how long? They don't even know. When the Most High created the sun, the fourth day. But the sun brings a season, doesn't it?
Exactly.
And everything that Yah created obeys his command, even the sun. And we take the sun for granted. It gives us light. It gives us heat. It grows our crop. It creates the seasons. We take it for granted. It wasn't
exactly.
a man that created that. It's the Most High Yah that created that. And if
spiritual.
You ain't on the spiritual understanding to understand that, then you don't understand what's going on.
Exactly.
So,
you know, Cartier, I've seen Yah at work right after the devastation to my mental stability. And right after that, I seen Yah at work right shortly. I prayed to Yah, worship him right after that. I seen things quite clearly. I seen the Most High in action. It was not something for me to worry about, and it's not something for anyone else to worry about. As long as you're connected with Yah, you'll be all right.
Yeah, man. It's only mankind that got the problems that he got.
Exactly.
Every other thing that Yah created is in order.
Exactly.
The way he placed it, the way he put it, is in order. That's why he said
exactly.
in Genesis, it grieves me that I made mankind, because man is evil from his youth. And you're going to see the evil of mankind, because he ain't in tune with Yah. Unfortunately, but Yah going to bring it back to that order where all of his creation, including mankind, is in tune with his order. So we're trying to get
Praise
in tune with his order. We're trying to get in tune with his order by listening to what he's commanding us to do, to have dominion over his creation. That's what we need to be focused on. Every
exactly.
human being, be in tune with God, your creator.
Exactly. Exactly, brother. Praise Yah, Cartrell.
Praise Yah.
Thank you, Cartrell. Family, fellow students, we're about to get started in our studies in the eighth book of Shofar Shoftim. That's the name, but now y'all call it Judges, but that's not the name. It's Shofar Shoftim, okay? The eighth chapter. It's continuation of Gideon, the seduction of the Midianites. Now, the men of Ephraim said to him after the battle that had just transpired, after, why have you done this to us by not calling us when you went to fight the Midianites? And they reprimanded him sharply. But he said to them, what have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of his family, his lineage, and that tribe, Abizar? Yah has delivered them into your hands. The princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeph. And what was I able to do in comparison with you? Then that anger toward him to do, he put him on check when he said that. When Gideon came to the Jordan, he, the 300 men who were with him, crossed over, exhausted. I mean, this is how we treat each other, but still in pursuit. We treat each other tacky, trashy, and terrorists. Sometimes we tell lies on one another. Then he said to the men of Succoth, who were Israelites, please give loaves of bread to the people who follow me, for they are exhausted. And I'm pursuing Zeba and Zabumna, kings of Midian. And his brothers, the leaders of Sokor, said, are the hands of Zabah and Zamumba now in your hand. You almost got it. What you crying about, so to speak? That we should give bread to your army? Come on, man. He looking out for y'all. But Gideon said, for this cause, when Yah has delivered Zebah and Zamumna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with the briars. I'm going to give you what you're looking for. You're going to reap what you sowed, so to speak. Then he went up from there to Penuel and spoke to them in the same way. Too. Yes,
I
go ahead, brother. Oh, no problem.
But the people he's speaking to is his own brothers.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying,
and
brother. They're not with each other.
Speaking to his own brothers, he not asking them for lamb, sheep, goat, or cow.
Yeah.
His simple request is for bread. And he's going in with 300 men.
Right.
And his own people don't want to support him. It's just like now. We got the United Nations of Israel. And we found the command that Yah gave us, gather your people. And it's like the situation with Gideon. We asking y'all for help. We ain't asking for a lot. We asking for bread. We ain't asking for what, you know, sheep, goat, cow, camel, horse. Just asking for bread. To sustain us. So we can maintain a fight against our enemies.
Exactly.
And they're not even there for that. Because he put out the call. Police trials, I put out the call. We going in. Fighting these people that's oppressing us.
Exactly.
It's like now. We're fighting people that's oppressing us. But who's coming to the forefront to fight the battle?
Exactly. Praise Yah, country. Thank you, brother.
Praise Yah.
Then he went up from there to Penuel and spoke to these Israelites from Penuel in the same way. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succor had answered. So he also spoke to the men of Penuel, saying, when I come back in peace, I will tear down this tower. Now, Zibbah and Zamumna were at Karkor, and their armies with them, about 15,000, all who were left of all the army of the people of the east, for 120,000 who drew the sword. 120,000 went there, had fallen. More than that, 120,000 had fallen. So 20,000, 135,000 went total, but only 15,000 were left of that. Yes, go ahead, brother.
So what are the odds that Gideon is facing? How many men he got?
Only 300.
300?
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned the fact that he's following the pattern of our father Abraham, who only had 318 men facing five nations. And the odds are 300 versus what? 15,000. Can you imagine that?
Exactly. Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
I can imagine that.
300 brothers with you, and you facing 15,000. And the 15,000, the 15,000, they running.
Exactly.
300. They running. They hiding.
Exactly.
They ducking. They ain't
exactly
facing the 300, which means that we must trust Yah. Because even with 300, you can chase 15,000.
Mm-hmm. Praise Yah. Thank you, brother.
Praise Yah.
Then Gideon, thank you, brother, went up the road, went up by the road of those who dwelt in tents on the east of Nobah in Jogbehar. He attacked the army while the camp felt secure. When Zebah and Zamumna fled, he pursued them. He took the two kings of Midian, Zebah and Zamumna, and routed the whole army, the rest of the 15,000. Then Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle. from the ashes of Hades. And he caught a young man of Sukkur, a young Israelite man of Sukkur, and interrogated him. He wrote down for him the leaders of Sukkur. He don't want to get the people in. I just want the leaders, the people running something. His elders, and it turned out 77 men. Then he came to the men of Sukkur and said, Hares, here are Saba and Zamumna, about whom you ridicule me, saying, are the hands of Ziba and Zamumna now in your hands, that we should give bread to your weary men? He took the elders of the city, thorns of the withers and briars with them. He talked the men of Sukkur. Then he tore down the tower. I guess he ran through them briars and witnessed, Scotch. He taught them. He taught about.
What did he teach them? What did he
teach them? He taught them. He taught them a lesson. he run them through them briars and wild of wilderness.
And Why did he do that?
He could have killed them, but he didn't do that. He needed to teach them a lesson. You need to learn that when your folks ask you for help, you need to humble yourself and help your folks. Okay? Because I'm not just doing this for me. I'm doing this. I'm in battle for you. I ask you a simple request for some bread. And y'all going to get snazzy with it and try to ridicule somebody. Then the next time somebody asks you for something, you're going to think about the wilderness and these briars and thorns that's in your behind. Go ahead, Contrail.
Poetic justice, right? Poetic justice.
Poetic justice. Exactly.
Because we got a lot of people out there listening to this show
right. That
don't understand that the Most High's word is solid. And we need
exactly.
to be pursuing it. And
exactly.
when we pursue the word of Yah, we find out Yah is real. And when
exactly.
Yah is real with us, we know that Yah is with us.
Praise
How
God.
Is he with us? Is he for us or against us? And it depends on the choices that we make. Are we listening to what he's telling us to do? Or are we just ignoring what he's commanding us to do? Gather yourself together,
exactly.
or nation not behind. Humble yourself, Israel.
Right.
And our Israelite brothers and sisters that's not trying to gather, that's not trying to humble themselves, Yah is there, but you're not walking with him.
Exactly. Praise Yah, country.
Praise
Yah. Thank you, brother. And as Yah lives, he said, let me see. And, okay, going back up.
These elders are your age and my age. I imagine you and me being dragged through some briars.
Right. We should have thought about our actions, Scotch.
So elders play an important role in the nation of Israel.
Exactly.
And you better make the right decision.
Exactly. That's why I had to. Sometimes you're in the moment of anger, Cartrell. And sometimes you just can't let your anger overcome you or overwhelm you. Yah says in the book of Proverbs, a man that goes to war, a wise man seek counsel. So sometimes in trying moments, it is a necessity to seek counsel. In the case of you today, and my friend in Memphis, and one of my blood brothers in Memphis, because you can let your anger overwhelm you and turn out to be a fool. So we try to follow all the antidotes of what Yah says in that regards. And because you can make rash decisions in trying times. So these elders had made rash decisions, which came about to haunt them. And so came back to haunt them. So we always had to be cognizant of our role, who we represent, who we are ambassadors of. Although it hurts from time to time. But nevertheless, you seek the counsel. Because I know King David stayed in pain. So You seek the counsel of the Most High. You seek the consultation of friends who are connected with the Most High and are connected with you in some regard. And so you're so correct, Katria.
That's the beauty of what we study. Because when you know the codes of Yah, you ain't got to worry about false testimony.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about fools.
Exactly.
When you see a fool,
that's all.
Oh,
yeah.
This is what King Solomon said about fools.
Right. When you perceive a man to be a fool, you get away from him. And so, for the
and you know the consequences. You know the consequences of people bearing false testimony.
Exactly.
Right, you want to lie on me? Oh, I and your
right.
fathers dealt with that. King David
right.
dealt with that. King Solomon
mm-hmm.
dealt with that. You bear false
right.
testimony, there's repercussions
right.
for that.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's this spiritual realm that our people don't understand. You got all
exactly.
this knowledge, you got all this physical ability, but what we're beginning to understand and study and expose is the spiritual aspect that we don't learn.
Exactly.
And the more we get into these studies about the word of Yah and the wisdom that King Solomon, King David is dropping in us,
mm-hmm.
it opens up the spiritual realm.
Exactly.
And when people lie on you and bear false testimony and do wickedness, there's consequences that they got to
exactly.
pay.
Exactly. More sooner than later, brother. More sooner than later. Just
mm-hmm.
make sure you're on the right track with the LOM and its codification. You can't let your anger get the best of you and your frustrations. You have to let Yah take care of his business. And believe you me, according to King Dawud, he does. And most the 9 times out of 10, you don't have to do nothing. Yah got everything in control. Praise Yah. Thank you, Brother Cartrell.
Praise Yah.
Then give me praise Yah. Then Gideon says to Zaba and Zamumna, what kind of men were they whom you killed at Tabor? So they answered, and they see us all the same way. Even today, in negative connotations, you're not positive. You think you're something special as a Hebrew Israelite? And you think you're above your brothers and sisters? They view us in the same light. And these men bear out that fact. So they answered, as you are, so are they. Each one resembles the son of a king. Did you understand what I'm saying? Don't think yourself something special above your brothers and your sisters in a negative connotation or in the positive connotation. They see us and view us in the same light of day. Then they said, they were my brothers and the sons of my mother. As Yah lives, if you had let them live, he talking about his brothers, I would, and his sisters, I would not kill you. And he said to Zether, his firstborn son, rise, kill him. But the youth would not draw his sword, for he was afraid because he was still a youth. He wasn't ready for this. So Ziba and Zamumna said, rise yourself and kill us. For as a man, it is so in his strength. You're a man. So Gideon, he accommodated him. He arose and killed Ziba and Zamumna and took the crescent ornaments that were on it, their camels and their camel's neck. I suspect these were orders of their king, of their kingship, or religious ornaments. I don't know which one they were. It didn't say in specification. Maybe because of their kingship or maybe because of their gods. I don't know.
Then, so, Yamsu, even before that.
Yeah, go ahead, brother. Okay. What's that, brother?
These kings, they perceive the prophet's brothers as kings.
Right.
And they killed them.
Right.
What right did they have to kill him at all?
They didn't. There was no justification.
And that's how we should see each other.
Exactly.
Exactly. That we're valuable. And anytime the enemy kills us, you just want to kill the king.
Exactly.
Somebody valuable to the nation.
And we should start treating each one in a kingly fashion, just like our enemies view us. Not in this
terrible
disgusting.
That's how these kings saw us. Because he asked them, how you view them? They look like kings.
Right. Right.
And why would you kill those kings? Oh, you just killed them. Now you gotta suffer the repercussions of you killing these men who you saw in your eyes look like kings.
Right. Exactly. Praise Yah.
Contrail.
Our brother Gideon is about to make a fatal mistake, a fatal flaw. It was not his intent. But you know how we lack different.
It wasn't his intent. It wasn't his intent.
I think
he did it pretty well. Come on, man. Why would you do that? After you in communication with Yah, and now you turn and do this? Come on, man. That's like, me going to church.
Right.
And worshiping Easter and Christmas and all that.
Right.
I can't do that.
Hey, why would you do that anyway, Gideon?
Yeah.
You know how we are. You put a straw up there. We're going to be worshiping this straw. Come on, bro. You're right, Katja. I have to concede on that point. That Gideon knew better. You knew better. But you want to do what you want to do, just like we all are, when we want to do it and how we want to do it. And don't consider the consequences. But consequences are part of your actions. We must be cognizant. Yeah, go ahead, Katja.
I got to say, when we continue reading the story, I ain't blaming the women that was in his life.
No.
But I think it might have been the women that was in Gideon's life to make him make the decision that he made right here.
Yeah, because he had a whole lot of women. Remember King Salomo? Too many women ain't too good for nobody. And it's just that simple. I suspect that may very well be the truth, Brother Contrail. Thank you, brother.
That's just my hypothesis, analysis.
Right.
Because he had everything right. He had everything right up until this point. He had everything right up until this point.
Yeah, he should have consulted Yah before he made that move. Thank you, Brother Contra, and you're certainly correct. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us, both of you and your son, and your grandson also. For you have delivered us from the hands of Midian. And he did right in this regard. He knew he could assert himself in that position, but he asserted himself later.
This is the beauty of Gideon.
Exactly.
Right here, he shows some humility. Like, I'm not trying to be a leader.
Right.
How many of our brothers is out there trying to be leaders of the nation of Israel? No.
Right.
No, that's the hot spot.
Right.
Yah's eyes on all of us.
Exactly.
Especially the leader of the Most High flock.
Exactly.
He's like, I don't want no part of that. Just like Moses, I don't want no part of that.
And certainly, Katria, you and I both agree, he started off right. But you got to finish up right. You just can't start out right. You got to finish up right. Praise Yah.
And what he's saying is wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at man. Don't look at me. Don't look at my sons as your leader. Who's our leader?
God is
our leader.
Praise
That's how we got to where we got right now. That's what he's trying to tell him. No. It ain't a man that's going to lead your Israel. We have to continue to focus on our Elohim, our creator.
Hallelujah. Praise Yah, Katria.
That's what I love about Gideon. With all his flaws, with all his fallacies, he tried to keep the focus for the nation.
Exactly. But it's got to be continual. Katria and I both agree that when you start with Yah, you got to finish with Yah. It's got to be a continuum. It's got to be a continuous circle. You can't take a break in it. In spite of his flaws, he should have continued the process. And when we did,
and
we
he
got
knew.
There. Right.
I'm sorry. Gideon knew.
No problem. Right.
Gideon knew. How did
right.
Gideon know? You taking 300 men, and the remnant of the army that was left was 15,000.
Right.
And the 15,000 was running from the 300. The 15,000
right.
didn't represent everything that Gideon was facing.
Right.
Because that's the last aspect of those who was confronting Gideon and Israel, the 15,000 against the 300. The other kings, Gideon smashed with 300 men. You know what I said? Gideon
right.
smashed the other 95% with 300 men. So
exactly.
15,000 left. What was the number before there was 15,000 left? It had to be like what? Come on, man.
135,000. 135,000. Mm-hmm.
Against 300? Against 300?
Right.
Against
exactly.
300, which means
exactly.
Gideon knew that the Most High was with him. I only got 300.
Exactly.
And how
right.
many are we facing? And they running. They're running. They're actually running from us.
Exactly.
So we can't put ourselves in their shoes.
Right.
But if we were in their shoes and you were Gideon, you would know that the Most High is with you.
Exactly. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. And, but Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. Yah shall rule over you. He knew that.
What?
I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. Yah shall rule over you.
That's the message to our whole nation,
exactly.
even to who rules over us, Yamsu?
Yah.
Point blank.
Point blank. Just that simple.
Not his son, only begotten. No. Yah rules over us.
Exactly.
And that's all
Praise
we need
God.
To know.
That's all we need to know, brother. Thank you, Cottrell. Then Gideon said to them, I would like to make a request of you, that each of you would give me the earrings from his plunder. For they are golden earrings, because these men are Ishmaelites. They are our brothers from another mother. So they answered, we would gladly give them. And they spread out a garment, and each man threw into it the earrings from his plunder. Now the weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700, that's a lot of weight of gold. Besides the crescent ornaments, pendants, and purple robes, which were on the kings of Midian, besides the chains that were around their camel's neck. Then Gideon made it into an ephod. You know what an ephod is? It's a sleeveless shirt that our high priest wear. So he made this thing out of looking like a sleeveless shirt that the high priest wear and the priest. Then
so,
Gideon made it into an ephod.
So,
yeah, go ahead, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Did you catch everything that you just read?
Yes. I may have missed something. Share with me, brother.
Who's Ishmael?
Ishmael was our brother from another mother. He was the firstborn of Abraham by way of Hagar, the bondwoman, that Sarah gave to our father Abraham to have children by. She made a fatal flaw. She tried to make the decision without the consultation of Yah, and which produced the Ishmaelites.
So in this story that we're reading about, right?
Right.
We hear his name thrown up.
Exactly.
And who was central in the story? Ishmael, our own cousin, oppressing
right.
Israel, So we have to ask Gideon to fight to deliver us out of whose hand? Ishmael.
Our own folks.
Our own cousin.
That's how we do it, Cottrell.
Oh, yeah. See, because we got to know these historic facts. We must know these historic facts.
Exactly.
Our own family fights against us to keep us from what Yah wants us to have.
Oh, but it's true, Cottrell.
So we can't dismiss that lightly, the fact that our own cousin Ishmael, and it states that very clearly, he's in the mix trying to oppress us and deny us who we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it continues on today, Cottrell, unfortunately. Thank you, Brother Cottrell.
Because before the transatlantic slavery that we all are famous for, coming over here by ship, slave ships, there was the sub-Saharan trade slave initiated by Ishmael. But we don't know that history. They don't teach us that history. That before European slavery, there was the Arab slave trade.
Mm-hmm.
It still goes on today.
Exactly. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
And then Gideon made it to Ephah and set it up in his city, Ophrah. And all Israel played the harlot with it. See, you can't set our people in the wrong direction. It became a snare, and you will see, to Gideon and to his house. He was presumptuous. He didn't seek the inquiry of Yah in this regard. He did what he wanted to do, how he wanted to do it, and when he done. And it has consequences. Thus, Midian was subdued before the children of Israel. So that city lifted their heads no more. And the country was quiet for 40 years in the day of Gideon. Here we come to the death of our brother. Then Jerubbaal, the son of Joshua, Joash, went and dwelt in his home. He didn't seek another election. He didn't seek try to steal an election. He went and dwelt in his own house, minding his own business. And it points out the fact that Gideon had 70 sons who were his own offspring. For he had many wives. And his concubine, who was in Shechem, also bore him a son, whose name he called Abimelech. But this son gonna cause a problem. Now Gideon, the son of Joash, died at a good old age, was buried in the tomb of Joash, his father, Ophrah, of the Abizarites, of that family within the tribe of Manasseh. So it was, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel again played the harlot with Baal. They go right back to Baal and made Baal-Peris their god. Thus, the children of Israel did not remember Yah, their Elohim, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. Nor did they show kindness. And they were ungrateful even toward his house, toward the house of Jerubbaal, Gideon, in accordance with the good he had done for Israel. They didn't show his family no love. That's how we are, Cottrell. We still are like that. People that try to help you out, do right, break their back for you and whatnot, we don't even show them no love. Or the nigga should have did it. That's how we treat each other. And that's why I said because of a lack of a relationship with Yah, Cottrell, people in our nation and even conscious people in our nation that don't know this and unconscious people of our nation don't know, in our nation don't know this. And thus, as a result, because we have no relation, a continued relationship with Yah, we have been reduced to a monstrosity. Praise Yah and bless his holy name, my soul and all that is within me. Cottrell, my brother, you have the friend, you have the mic, and I know you got some comments.
Yes, sir. It's the reason why we should know our history, right?
Exactly.
so we don't make the same mistakes that we made in the past.
Exactly.
Because as far as the things that Gideon did, the people should have been grateful for, right? But as soon as he died, boom, everything he did, it didn't even matter. It's like he didn't do nothing at all. That's how we do our leaders today. But it only shows that we got the same DNA as our ancient fathers, right? All praise to the Holy One of Israel. Gideon the prophet, Gideon the judge, he did what he had to do to bring peace into the land, and the people that he did it for didn't appreciate it. And we're the same way today. All praise. Now, Sue,
baby. Yes, brother, I did. Go to the little fellow room. What did you say, brother?
Yeah. Okay. That's how we treat our leaders.
Exactly.
They had no regard to what Gideon had did, because it seems they had hate for his family and went to serving the Baal. And he brought them peace for 40 years.
Exactly. Exactly. That's how we are, Katria, unfortunately, but it's the truth of the matter.
We're the only people on planet Earth that don't respect our leaders.
Right.
And Gideon, in spite of his flaws, he was a leader that they didn't respect.
That helped him and protected him. What a shame, Katria.
And his humility, because he could have been the first king of Israel, Gideon. King of Israel.
Right.
Because they were asking him to be the leader. He's like, no. Don't ask me. Yah is your king. Yah is your leader. And we need to know that today, as he was trying to bring that message back to them back then. We don't need no human king. We need Yah to be our king.
Point blank, country. Point blank.
Point blank. No doubt.
Thank you. Thank you, big brother. Well, fellow students and friends, strangers, Katria is about to proceed to the last segment of the study, which is in Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Katria, you have the mic.
Are we in chapter 6 or chapter 7?
Chapter 6, I believe, Katria.
Where's Nasanya? Where's Nasanya? Where's Abia?
Nasanya, what chapter? What chapter? Six,
chapter six.
Six,
brother. Chapter six. Praise God, brother. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Holy One, Israel, God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and even our King, King Solomon. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon is going through it. He's like, what's the purpose of life? We got powerful people, we got poor people, we got fools, we got wise people. And he's like trying to dissect it all. So the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 6. King Solomon says, there's an evil that I have seen under the sun, and it lies heavy on mankind. What's that evil, King Solomon, to see that lies heavy on mankind? Amen. To whom Elohim gives wealth, possessions, and honor, so that he lacks nothing of all that he desires. And we've seen people like that in our lifetime, right? Yet Elohim does not give him power to enjoy them. So we see people with wealth, possessions, honor, lacking nothing in all he desires. But do they really enjoy it?
Exactly.
And the person that comes to mind is Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump got wealth, possession, honor amongst white people. And he don't like nothing all that he desires. But is he really enjoying all that he has? You think Donald Trump is enjoying all his wealth, power, and honor that he has?
I said again, brother.
You think Donald Trump is enjoying his wealth, his possessions, his honor, his power, and he lacks nothing of all that he desires? You think he's enjoying himself right now?
Don't seem like it to me.
Nah, not really. Yet, Elohim does not give him power to enjoy them. He got all that, and the Most High doesn't give him power to enjoy.
Exactly.
Because he's facing a life sentence in federal prison.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And all the wealth that Donald Trump has accumulated, he said a stranger will enjoy it.
By the looks of it,
right now, they're taking Donald Trump's property in New York. Who are they going to give it to? Not
exactly.
His children. King Solomon said, this is...
Did they finally take the country? City of New York, did they finally take his property?
They're about to shut him down in New York, so he can't do no more business in New York.
Exactly. I think that's going to be the outcome.
And New York is the center of his wealth.
Exactly.
They're about to take that away from him.
Exactly.
King Solomon said, this is vanity. Everything Donald Trump built is going to be for somebody else.
Exactly.
It is a grievous evil. If a man fathers 100 children and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with life's good things, and he also has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better off than he. You got hundreds of children and you can't even get a burial? What's wrong with your children? Damn. I don't know what he was looking at, King Solomon at his time. For it comes in vanity and goes in darkness, and in darkness its name is covered. Moreover, it has not seen the sun or known anything, yet it finds rest rather than heat. Even though he should live 1,000 years twice over, yet enjoy no good thing, do not all go to one place?
Exactly.
So King Solomon is pondering death.
Right.
And he doesn't know what comes past death. And nobody really knows what comes past death. But he's trying to reflect and see and open up that vision, what comes after death. Saying all goes to one place. But his father, King David, knew, like, if I do righteousness, I'm going to be in Yah's house, and I'm going to be praising him forever. I don't know why King Solomon didn't get that point of his father's wisdom. It says, all the toil of man is for his mouth, yet his appetite is not satisfied. All the toil of a man's for his mouth, yet his appetite is not satisfied. But what advantage has the wise man over the fool? And what does the poor man have who knows how to conduct himself before the living? But it is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the appetite. This also is vanity and striving after wind. King Solomon is going through it.
Exactly.
Whatever has come to be has already been named. And it is known what man is, and that he is not able to dispute with one stronger than he. The more words, the more vanity. And what is the advantage to a man? For who knows what is good for man while he lives a few days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow? For who can tell a man what will be after him under the sun? And it seemed to be an itch that King Solomon could not scratch. Mm-hmm. All the power, all the riches, all the knowledge, and all the wisdom that I've got, I'm just like a fool. I'm just like the evil man, because all of us die, and what's going to be in the hereafter? And that's what he's really questioning, what's going to be in the hereafter?
Which should be our focus, Kachel, the hereafter. The wonder in his eyes, you jump from one thing to the other. The absoluteness and what the spirit is concerned, the soul is, should be concerned about, and the nothingness about physical things in life. And the appetites, one in his eyes of it. What you're focusing on, Yah is saying in so many words, you're focusing on the wrong thing through King Salomo. You need to focus on spiritual things in regards to that. Because what satisfies your appetites, your mouth, it does not satisfy your soul. Bottom line, you'll never be satisfied.
And we're hearing from a king. How many of us can reach the level of King Solomon?
None, not today. Truth be told, not so, like King Salomo.
In the position that King Salomo was in, we can see that his spirit was not at peace, right?
No. You could never satisfy your soul. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines. He could eat what he want, when he want, how he want. He could sleep where he wanted. He had everything at his humanly desire, but he still wasn't satisfied.
Ain't that what you want?
Yeah.
Don't you want 700 wives and 300 concubines? All the wealth in the world? Don't you want that? Don't you want that?
Hell to the one wife is enough, brother. Come on, man. you think I want to deal with 700, 300? No, player. I'm good.
That's why King Solomon said that it's better to dwell in the desert land on the rooftop than the house with a contentious woman. How many contentious women did he have? Man had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Okay.
Look like he had 1,000 of them. Did it help Gideon? Brother Gideon? No.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I only got one son, man. Your man Gideon has 70 sons? Imagine having 70 sons, huh?
Exactly.
Damn. How will you keep up? Would you know any one of them's name? Can you name 70 of all your sons' names? Damn.
Well, George Foreman sort of saw it. He called George Foreman 1, 2, 3, 4. It's true. All right, brother.
You got 70 sons.
Exactly.
70 sons. That's 70 ridiculous.
Sons.
That's ridiculous.
It is, Carson.
That's ridiculous.
It is.
Gideon wasn't playing around, though.
No.
And the women that was around Gideon, he was willing to have his babies, wasn't he?
He sure would. He had plenty of them. That ain't to speak of the girls, man. That's just the sons.
Yeah. Only the sons we're talking about. How many daughters did he have? How many daughters did he have?
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh my goodness, two more times.
We worried about having 2, 3, 4 children. This man has 70 sons, not even counting the daughters.
Man, that's something else, my brother. That's something else.
But it shows our people wasn't playing around. Most High gave us. Who are you?
Strong
be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah. Yeah, with them strong appetites, you better do the right thing with them strong appetites and come back to hunt you. You gonna see it came back to hunt Gideon. You gonna see.
Listen.
Yeah.
This is why the enemy fears us.
Right.
Because one man, a brother like you or me, could have 70 sons.
Man, I'd be crazy as I want to be.
That means we better than rabbits, son. We better than rabbits.
Yeah.
You got 70 sons.
Crazy.
Just like you, Cartel, I only had one son. I got my sons here by virtue of my wife, but I only had one biological son. And, you know, he died 5 years old in a swimming pool accident. So I can't even imagine it, Brother 70. I can't even imagine 7. Go ahead, Brother.
Yeah, man. And yep. Y'all gonna bring back those days when we have 70 sons.
Oh, Lord. But I guess I had to deal with it. But look here, God, you have father, I'm concerned. I'm afraid to the most high. I just want one wife now. She better be able to bear 70 sons. I don't want no vote. Just one. Okay? Make sure y'all, she can bear 70 sons, okay? Ain't gonna need son, y'all. Ain't no woman want to have no 70 babies. Ain't no man want to have 70 sons. She's talking about the physical aspect of carrying babies and whatnot. Shoot, the woman couldn't eat, she couldn't sleep, she couldn't wash clothes, she couldn't help in the field, she just in the bed. All right, country.
Now, so right. Imagine if you had 69 brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, bro.
Ain't nobody messing with you.
No, they ain't going to mess with me too quick. That's true.
I got 69 brothers, man.
They going to get up with you. Especially you, the youngest one. They going to get up with you. All right?
Yeah, yeah.
You said, I said 69. You heard me. You're right, guys.
Those numbers are unimaginable today. We worried about having 2 or 3 children.
Right.
So about our ancient fathers having 70
right.
sons? That's right. Incredible. That's unbelievable.
It is.
Gideon. So my mighty man.
He
didn't need
on.
No Viagra, that's for sure. Your man ain't need no Viagra.
You said Gideon, he
sure
got it on, too.
Yeah, Gideon ain't need no Viagra. He didn't need no blue pill, for sure.
He has some Gideon Agra.
Gideon Agra.
Yeah, man. That boy has stamina like a mule.
71, man,
exactly.
That's incredible.
Incredible. But thank you, Brother Cartrell. I mean, that was very astute study, very informative, a vast reservoir of information that we both shared with our students, well, with y'all's students today. And they need these studies. They need these historical studies. They need to know who they are, what they are, and what they should be doing. They need to know our history. And it's vital
we
that
need
we
to
share.
Know.
We. I'm a substitute tonight. We need to know. You're right,
yes, sir.
Not no date. We need to know. And Cartier is so correct. Fellow students, we hope that you take this information, share this information, study this information, meditate on this information. Keep Yah on your mind. Ask the Most High to give you a new heart and a new spirit. Ask the Most High to give you a heart and spirit that helps you to love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your brothers and sisters as yourselves. Meaning, learn to love yourself also. Cartrell, any closing remarks in the comments?
Imagine if Joe Jackson has 70 sons.
He'd have had 8 bands. He'd have had 8 number one hit bands.
He would have had what?
8 number one hit bands. Oh, but it's true, Katria. Oh, but it's true, Sister Nisanya. Oh, but it's true.
I know Joe Jackson had a lot of children.
Exactly.
And all his children were talented.
They were.
But can you imagine if Joe Jackson had 70 children?
Joe Jackson would have had a record company, a production company. Joe Jackson would have owned these United States of America. Yeah, it's true.
And that's what they fear about our people, that we
exactly.
are fruitful and we multiply. So psychologically,
exactly.
they had to invade our brains and tell you, oh, you having 12, 13, 14, 15, 20 children? You can't afford it.
Right.
Every child that's born, the Most High makes a way for them.
In our regard, with 13 brothers and sisters, country, the Most High made a way. My daddy just burned off the money and wasted the money, but he bought my mom's a house, which she lives in today, in 1965. But that being said, he didn't take advantage for his children. Dad made good money with a third grade education. He just messed off his money. That's all that was, truth be told.
And I don't know how many children Joe Jackson actually had.
Right.
Because the Jackson family is a big family.
Right.
And they was facing odds that we all face, how we grow up in
exactly.
poverty.
Exactly.
But we are the jewels of the Most High. And
exactly.
Joe Jackson and his family, with all the children that he had, they're not a poor family, are they?
No, they're not.
He wasn't worried about having a lot of children, was he?
No, he wasn't.
So we can't listen to our enemies because our children are the blessing that Yah gives to us, the gift
of
life.
And we should look out for that best interest, Kajir.
And Yah's first command for man is be fruitful and
multiply.
So
praise Yah.
Don't let man put fear in your heart where you don't want to have children.
Exactly.
Have as many children as you possibly can.
Great job.
Because they are the real joy. They are the real happiness. They are the real blessing that the Most High brings into our lives.
Exactly. Praise Yah, Brother Cartrell.
Praise Yah.
Thank you, Brother Cartrell, for that information. Nation, strangers, friends, take the word of Yah. Meditate on the word of Yah. And most importantly, apply the word of Yah. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. We love Yah. Cartier, you love the people?
Most definitely. Yah's creation. Come on, man. Yah makes some beautiful people, doesn't he?
You better believe it. We love Yah.
I enjoy.
Yep. We love Yah. May the Most High bless Yah. Come back tomorrow. Shalom and good night.
There is no defense. For my action, there to the east. East is the most and the most is the least when you're living in a world of peace.
Yeah. Stand in a circle of peace. Only the willing will see their dreams.
Love, peace.